This is 69 the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. The goal on here is to make listeners aware of interesting companies, smart people, and new technology developments, all of them meaningful in making digital signage projects happen. I try to help listeners understand sometimes complicated subjects and why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but things happen now and then. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 has been around since 2006, and the publication and podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which provides customer engagement solutions for business. You can find them at spectrio.com. The people behind college and pro sports have increasingly focused on making events multimedia experiences that start well before fans put their bums in seats. And we're now starting to see hints of that in the way public spaces are programmed. Screens are synced, and content is carefully timed and triggered based on data and all kinds of variables. While most integrators and solutions providers are focused on executing on ideas and needs, the New York company ANC has for years been delivering services and software for what it calls branded entertainment. The work started with collegiate and pro sports, but more recently, the company has branched into areas like retail and mass transportation, including the multi-venue, many-screens experience that stretches between the Fulton Center in Lower Manhattan and underground to the World Trade Center complex in New York. I had a great chat with Joe Okapinti, ANC's Chief Operating Officer. Hey, Joe, thank you for joining me. I've chatted with ANC in the past with Mark Strauss, but that's going back like 6 years or something like that. I'm curious, first of all, what your company does, and maybe we could get into a little bit about the background of basically buying the company back from prior owners. It started as a family company, and now it's kind of back as a family-driven company, right?
Yes. Yeah, so Mark Strauss, yeah, he's obviously still our CTO. So I'm sure you two had a fun-filled conversation. But yeah, a lot has changed. A lot has changed in those 5 or 6 years. That was probably just after or just before Learfield had purchased ANC from our initial founder, Jerry Cifarelli Sr., who was kind of a pioneer in the signage and TV visible advertisement world there in the late 80s and into the 90s when he started ANC in the late 90s and kind of evolved the business into a large format technology integrator for sports and other venues. So when Learfield took over, they obviously wanted to start integrating some of our technologies into all of their properties and universities, and which was great. It was a good 5 or 6 year run we had with them. And I was with ANC for a lot of those years. I started back in 2012, so I saw kind of the end of Jerry's initial ownership, and then into the Learfield. And then I had kind of parted ways with ANC in early 2022 and found my way into a company called C10 with Jerry's son, Jerry Cifarelli Jr. And shortly into 2022, Learfield reached out to us and was interested about, looking into a potential acquisition. And I think, Learfield's business has changed a lot, right? They were in multimedia rights and they've kind of shifted into a data-driven company with all their fans and engagement. And, I don't think it was core to them any longer. And obviously with Jerry's father having started the business, it was very near and dear to our hearts. And we felt that ANC had all the right foundation due to its success over 25 years. And we can take it back and change a few things, kind of get the parts back together, streamline things, and get after it once again, kind of bring the band back together. And that all happened in early 2023. We couldn't be happier to kind of be driving the boat again.
So when somebody, you meet at a cocktail party or a neighborhood party or whatever, says, "What do you do?" And more to the point, what does your company do? What do you tell them? Because it's quite involved.
The loaded question. Hopefully they have like two drinks, like one in each hand or something. But basically ANC consists of four business lines, we like to call it. So the kind of the moneymaker, the thing that gets the most press is, our LED technology installations, and that could be, you know, the things that catch everyone's attention is obviously the large format LED displays, but we're really a technology integrator throughout the entire venue. So we have installed IPTV, we've installed TVs, we've installed full control rooms, things of that nature. And, you know, those are the, you know, like we say, large format, I keep going back to that, but main video center hungs in arenas, you know, center field boards in baseball. We have a 280-foot display at Westfield World Trade Center. Some of those marquee kind of displays that you guys have heard and seen. Yep. And then we also have a services department or venue solutions, we like to call it, which after all the pretty lights go up, we have to then maintain it and make sure it works for the life of that display or until the next renovation happens. So we actually have a fleet of operators out in the field who are going in pregame, off days, and making sure that, you know, modules are fixed and things are corrected, the proper content's loaded into the software, and they're ready for the game presentation or for the next event or for the next change in scheduled content that's going to happen in an out-of-home venue.
Right.
So we do a ton of that as well. And then we also have kind of our ad agency business. So that kind of goes back to when Jerry kind of started the whole business, our TV visible signage, where we are acquiring inventory from teams that we work with, or we go out and purchase it. And then we also represent brands. So we'll place a discount tire behind home plate at a specific market that they would like to see, or a number of different advertisers that we've been working with for years that really want to have that TV visible signage in sports. Our ad agency is mostly on the sports side. We do some and out of home, but obviously those are kind of owned by the properties and things like that. So it's a little bit different.
Right.
And then what kind of ties it all together is our software business. So it's called LiveSync now. It started as, you know, FaciaSoft, VisionSoft, VSoft, and now it's LiveSync, and kind of it's all in the name, right? We specialize in syncing all your displays throughout the venue. So somewhere like Westfield World Trade and Fulton Center, they're kind of one venue to put together. I think they have upwards of 75 or 80 displays between LCDs and LEDs. And we have a constant stream of scheduled content that's looping every 10 or 20 seconds, 24/7. And you could sit there and watch in one area, 5 to 10 displays all changing at the same exact time, frame to frame, everything running pixel to pixel. But the beautiful thing about LiveSync is what it does is it's really, we're wide open, you know, open API, open source. We want to play ball with everybody else that might be in the control room, and we want to be able to trigger whatever else you might want to trigger with that piece of content. So if you wanted to run a home run graphic at Fenway Park and you wanted your LED, you know, lights for a night game to flicker, when the guys are on the bases, ANC LiveSync can trigger that software, and it could all run synced and simultaneously. So we really like to say that's kind of can be the quarterback of the venue. Like somewhere like Wells Fargo Center, we trigger an IPTV program to have like a goal animation run in the suites over the whatever TV broadcast is being shown. So we've really come a long way in that regard. The software has come leaps and bounds, probably even from 6 years ago when you talked to Mark. We're really proud of the software that he's developed with his team.
And this is your own software. It's not something you sell, right? It's software that you use when you're working with various customer venues.
Yeah, a lot of times our software is installed when we are doing the full install, right? We don't really sell it a la carte. We have started to look into that, right? Like we think the software is at a point where it can do that and can be that. We did a deployment this year at I think it's PPG Paints Arena at Pittsburgh Penguins, where another LED manufacturer got the LED job, but they came to us for the software. So that was just a software standalone installation where, you know, we went in there into the control room and, you know, installed the servers and had it integrate with everything else they had there. And it runs their live game presentation now.
Right. And when you're talking about being known for LED or being known for LED display control and so on, but not, you're not a manufacturer or a reseller of somebody else's product, right?
Yeah, we're not a manufacturer at all. So we do have competitors in this space, right? You know, big name LED installers, but they're all manufacturers. So even though, you know, we're competitors, we're kind of not, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you can see a world where we kind of can come together with some of these and enhance their business, right? We feel we can do a good job on the installation side and on the service side. But we really talk to the clients and figure out what they need from a LED signage, you know, perspective. And we go out and find the best possible product to deliver that. And then we like to use our four business lines to create a cohesive, you know, partnership with that client, right? So, you know, once we're in a venue and they want to add a display here, a display there, it's very easy to add it into our existing LiveSync software or to add it to our services, right? So we kind of like to use our, or give the partner back ad dollars by finding somebody to buy advertisements on their home plate or elsewhere in the venue. So we really can use our different lines to be a full service partner for all of our clients.
It's interesting. Years ago, I remember talking to somebody about shopping malls and how shopping malls, particularly in Asia, were no longer just seen as kind of warehouses or harmonized venues for retail. They were experiential places that were programmed and that had, you know, like programming calendars and special events and everything else related to it. And it kind of sounds like what you're doing and what you can deliver is you're really programming a venue, or in the case of down by the World Trade Center, multiple venues, so that content cascades across them, things happen and so on, but it's all kind of cohesive as opposed to maybe more traditional digital signage and just display work where there's something driving this, there's something else driving that. Maybe they once in a while sync up, but they're not really kind of working together.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think these are all everyone's fighting to get the people to their venue, right? I mean, they want to drive sales or, you know, drive concessions or whatever it might be. And, you know, the malls are becoming more of let's go spend a few hours at the mall. I mean, let's not just go pick up, you know, something I need, right? It's like, let's do this with the kids or see this special event or whatever it might be. And, you know, being able to create kind of an atmosphere that's inviting and like appealing to people's eyes kind of goes hand in hand with that. And then obviously you can promote the upcoming events and whatnot too, right? So it's, there's just more and more digital installations happening. And the interesting thing that we're seeing in the business and, you know, it's happening in sports is, you know, I kind of mentioned like Jerry Cifarelli Sr. started with rotational signs, like static banners behind home plate and on ribbons. And that grew into, you know, LED behind home plate and then LED on the ribbons, then these massive center hungs. But now, you know, these at home venues and these sport venues are now, they're expanding, right? You have these big conglomerate businesses that are doing stuff outside beyond just the stadium, right? Trying to get people there before the games and to the restaurants and to the bars. And you're seeing digital marquee that you would typically see on the highway kind of up on the back of a stadium or, you know, down the street at the bar that they just built that's owned by the same kind of marketing company that owns the business or has similar interest, right? So they are kind of meshing a lot, right? And they're all trying to fight for those eyeballs and fight for those people to bring the dollars and revenue in their ways.
Yeah, it kind of seems like the worlds are converging. When you know, I was reviewing your company website and seeing how deep a background you have in sports, both college and pro, and expanding into retail and in public spaces like mass transport and so on, and thinking at first that, well, these are very different worlds, but when you really think about it, they're very similar worlds in a lot of ways these days, because you know, like airports are shopping malls, and sports venues are no longer just the arena. It's the, you know, multi-purpose sort of event area with retail and residential and hotel and everything else. And it's all being kind of driven by the same developer or developer group. So they are harmonizing all this stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, we're here to kind of help whatever those entities are to create a cohesive kind of appeal to the entire look, right? And then what's happening too is, you know, a lot of our venues are old, right? Our malls are a little older. Our stadiums are getting older. So you're going to see more of these stadiums, you know, new builds will happen, but you're going to see a lot of renovations where the technology, you know, there's going to be seating upgrades and there's going to be changes to potential sight lines and things of that nature, and make egress and, you know, easier and more exits, whatever it might be. But the technology is really what's going to put the renovations over the edge, right? And it used to be that once you walked through that little tunnel and saw the baseball diamond, you saw the LED, the first LED you saw that day was then. Now it's like when you're a couple of miles away on the highway, you see a billboard that's on the stadium. So right away, you're triggering people's eyeballs from when they, before they even get to the park. Then you're tailgating and you're seeing advertisements run in your face. And then, you know, you go into, you scan your ticket, you see an LED when you go through the lobby. You know, on the concessions and things like that, those can be obviously monetizable and you can have advertisements there. And the same thing's happening in malls and in transit hubs and in other places where they're trying to grab your attention before you even think about, you know, heading into that, wherever you're going.
Do you have to sell, this whole notion into these kinds of venues, or do they just inherently get it now because they've seen it in action elsewhere and it's no longer just this sort of exotic concept?
They definitely have seen it and they want to do it. I think where we come in is kind of helping them bring that to life. So we actually have like an architectural designer that will go and meet with teams and say, hey, we have this area of our club or area of our mall or transit hub that we'd really love to be able to monetize and put some LED signage here, but we don't really know how to do it. So that's where we come in kind of, we kind of consult them, but we're really just trying to provide another service to an existing partner or potential partner to say, hey, we'll take some pictures. We'll create a virtual world and we'll throw some LEDs on there and you guys can kind of see and understand what it might look like. And how do we angle it right to catch the attention of people coming up the stairs so that, you know, or whatever it might be, so you can maximize the eyeballs and the dollars that you would get from that, right? Or the whatever the feel or the presentation that you want there. So we're doing that constantly. You know, we have done that at a lot of our marquee venues where we start with one install and the next thing you know, there's three or four or five installs over the next 5 or 6 years where, you know, they're adding a screen here or there because they realize it's a high traffic area or during, you know, walkthroughs or tours, it's a good place to promote their upcoming events or whatever it might be. You know what I mean? So
right.
We kind of do that a lot for our places just to kind of allow them to continue to add to the technology and to provide a better presentation to their constituents that are at the venue.
For over a decade, ScreenFeed has been the reliable choice for beautifully designed, licensed content such as news and weather. We handle over 27 million requests a day to deliver dynamic content to 200,000 screens across the globe. Now we bring you ScreenFeed Connect, a no-code solution that makes complex content projects easy. Projects that used to take our designers and developers weeks became a to-do we could complete before lunch. The easy-to-use browser-based tool leverages pre-built data connections and ready-made widgets to give you the power to design with data. Create team member profiles, schedules, tenant directories, progress boards, featured products, or anything that leverages your data. Discover how Connect empowers you to complete projects faster at screenfeed.com.
Is it just the highly visible stuff, or, you know, in the case of, let's say, a sports and event center, are you also driving like the menu boards, menu displays in concession and, you know, the ticket windows and things like that?
Yeah, we've done some of that. As I mentioned, Wells Fargo is kind of like our, I don't want to say crown jewel, but it's been a really great partner for us for, I believe, over a decade. Uh-huh. And we literally do everything there from, they have a sportsbook lounge on their top level to where they were ingesting, you know, stat feeds and scores and betting lines. Their main video screen is kind of kinetic. It comes down at one size and opens another, and we just have to hit one button in our software, which allows it to do that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they have their IPTV system. I think it's upwards of 700 LCD or TV displays that they have across the venue. And we don't have our own IPTV software, but we built a bridge between us and their IPTV provider so that when they do score a goal or there is a win, we can send graphics out there, or if there's you know, something they want to promote to their suites or to certain areas of the business, of the venue, I should say, we can do that. Or even emergency messaging or something like that, you know, we have the ability to kind of go full blast on every display that we touch that's in there. And then even still, they're even adding more. We have billboards out on 95 there in Philly. They added some more displays on their outside, where if you go to a Flyers game tomorrow, you'll see us up there kind of installing it. Mm-hmm. So like I said, they're trying to get you from when you're a few miles away to get you thinking, you know, I'm excited for this game and I'm excited to participate in this event. But also what goes out on there, you kind of alluded to that. I kind of said, like, you know, the betting lines and things like that. But, you know, one of our venues we have in the city, we have two JP Morgan Chase banks, and you'd think that's kind of like a sleepy thing, like who's going there to see LED. Mm-hmm. But what Chase does for their customers is while you're sitting there, you might see, the sub, if there's any subway delays, we worked with the MTA to get that. You'll see any traffic. It might be, if you're heading to Queens, it'll say, you know, take the tunnel, not the bridge, or whatever it is. Right. Mm-hmm. And, weather will pop up. So yeah, we're not, you know, creating this data, but we're ingesting it from different feeds and from different sources, and we're making it pretty. We're creating the graphical ways that it might show up and kind of adding to the person's experience being at whatever venue they're at.
Right. Now, if I talk to virtually any CMS software company out there these days, and I ask them about data integration, they'll say, oh, of course, yeah, we do all kinds of data handling. We've got APIs and this and that. We're all over that stuff. But I get the impression that there are very much different kind of tiers of this, that you can have kind of basic data integration that, yes, you could query let's say, some transit data if it's publicly available as an XML feed or something. But I'm from what you're telling me, this is quite a bit more exotic than that.
Yeah, I believe it is. I mean, I think what we can do is, you know, if the weather variable says it's going to be cloudy, we create a graphical, you know, thing that shows a cloudy, you know, what you would think would be cloudy, and that shows up there, right? Mm-hmm. Or if, you know, when it's time for the weather to come through and it's sunny, you know, the background of it'll say 65 and it'll be sunny. But if it's 65 and rainy, the background will have rain on it. Mm-hmm. So we're even going to that level where what the trigger is, we're not just spitting out what the variable is, but we're trying to create a cohesive, you know, content experience too, that kind of shows what's happening. Right. And then it allows us to trigger different items in our software too, that, you know, we could automatically change when the variable goes from, bottom top one to bottom one, it automatically changes the advertisements that would run in that half inning. Right. So right. It even comes with efficiencies on our end of what we're able to and how we're able to gain presentation and things of that nature. But yeah, I mean, these are little subtle things that, you know, that the customer or the fan really appreciates. And it's just, for us, it's great. We have an in-house design team. We're creating these things. Our statistical engineers and our developers are then creating ways for it all to kind of work together. So yeah, you do kind of have your base level where we just want to see, you know, the scores on a ticker, which we're happy to do.
Right.
But if they want to get more involved and do some more graphical things to enhance the experience, we're obviously able to do that as well.
When it comes to things like game day experiences for, you know, big sports venues and multi-purpose venues like that, do these organizations have their own teams that handle all that and they just kind of work with you, or are you actually providing, like, doing the game day experience for these companies?
It's different at every venue. Okay. We're happy to be part of the team however they would like us to be. It goes anywhere from, place like the Gainbridge Fieldhouse, right? They just hosted the All-Star game, and we LiveSync touches every LED display that's permanently installed there. And our operator's heavily involved in production meetings, needs to understand what the run of show is, load the content in prior to the game. He's been there so long, I'm sure maybe he makes says, hey, maybe try this or that. I don't know, but he's been there for a while and he's great at what he does. And they fully trust us to carry out the run of show that they have created. Mm-hmm. But what might be in that run of show are graphics that our in-house design team also creates. So that's kind of part of the services department that I kind of mentioned before.
Yep.
Is we also have graphic designers in-house that if they want a special intro or some kind of graphical element for a camera, what am I saying? Like a kiss cam or something, you know, these cheesy yeah. things that you see that help with game prez. We kind of create those things for them. And our guys there downloading it, testing it, making sure that it works for the game when it inevitably runs in the game. So it is varying levels. Some were kind of passive, right? We're like, hey, sit, you know, we're here. Let us know what you need us to do. Let us know what content needs to be run. And then in others where, you know, we're heavily involved, where we're talking to them, you know, twice a week on content and churning out, you know, thousands of hours of graphical design and in their production meetings, and we're upgrading their stat layers every season and creating a new look that might go with their season tickets or, you know, whatever it might be. Right. So they would kind of like to have that whole cohesive kind of brand look that they go for. So it does vary per client mm-hmm. just based on, you know, our level with them and what they want to get out of the relationship.
Your background or the company background is much more in sports, but you, as mentioned earlier, you've kind of branched into retail and mass transport and, you know, other kinds of things like that. How does the business break down now? Is it still predominantly sports or are you seeing quite a bit of traction in these newer areas?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the legacy business, and we dropped it used to be ANC Sports, and we dropped the sports when we started to foray into kind of the other things, the out of home yeah. kind of markets. And I would say we do more volume and on the sports side, but there's obviously a lot of growth and a lot of greenfield on the place, we call it places or out of home side. Mm-hmm. And we've been lucky enough to do some impressive installations where the clients have trusted us to perform those, even though we kind of had a lack of experience in it. I've kind of mentioned what Fulton and Westfield, that was kind of our first kind of foray into it, and it was a hit, and it looks great and still looks great, you know, 7, 8, 9 years later. We did a really good install down at South Reed Seaport, which we believe is really impressive. We did some stuff at Moynihan Train Hall. So we've been lucky to have some big marquee type installations. We are trying to build our relationships with a lot of the out of home players, you know, without naming any names, like we're trying to build those relationships and just kind of see what the partnerships look like there and be a installer and integrator for them as well, just like we've been able to do in the sports. So I think I don't, you know, the numbers will probably say that we're still more of a sports type business, but mm-hmm. I don't think it's that far off from being, you know, even one day. And I think we are going to put some resources behind it, and we're going to do some stuff with the software that kind of will help that. We're in the process of changing our user interface to kind of be a little bit easier to use. We're doing some cloud type and quick play type stuff at NBC Universal right now, where they can walk around with their phones when they're doing tours, and they can just change what's being displayed on the screens from their phone. So we are kind of putting some resources behind it because we believe in it, and we believe that we can help a lot of different partners achieve their goals there.
I would imagine the typical media companies, even very large ones, would be pretty happy if somebody handled, you know, these more involved installations in like a Times Square or a entertainment district where there's a lot of screens, because they're primarily in the business of selling, you know, media time, selling display faces and so on. I don't know that they really want to get all that dirty in terms of running these kinds of networks, particularly when they start to get quite complicated.
Literally and figuratively dirty, you know, like, you know, we're also like installing the displays. It's a heavy construction type thing too, right? So we're installing the display, we're doing the steel work, and then we're plugging everything in and running the show as well. So yeah, I think we have a lot to offer. I think we need to make some enhancements, and it's almost like the out of home stuff isn't easier. It's different than, you know, in game live presentation, right? And like you said, the legacy business was built that way. So when we got into the out of home market, it worked for out of home, but we had some of these features like scheduling and overtakes and some of these things, but they weren't maybe as robust as they are today, right? Because we started doing more in it. So we've really focused in and, you know, debugged them and made them stronger and better so that we can run an out of home type market. But it's almost too robust for the simple kind of one display on the side of a building, right? Like I'm talking about where we specialize is game presentation, where you see five or six or seven different screens, they all have to be synced to kind of make the GIMP presentation feel cohesive. Or in certain venues like Westfield, where you see many screens at once, you don't want it to be choppy and look off. But we're maybe a little bit too robust when it comes to a single display, right? And
right.
because we're too robust, our features, maybe we're a little bit heavy in terms of cost. So we're going to try to address some of those things and really create something that would be, gets all the features that we have, but can also be used in an easier type setting as well, and not be so cost effective. And then something, like I said, like we want to start getting our cloud infrastructure stronger and our, you know, things like that, so that people can go by and change it with a phone. Right now we have, you know, people on staff that are scheduling, you know, these places for us in our live sync. They're remoting in and scheduling all these things. It would be easy if, you know, if you worked for Westfield World Trade and you're trying to court a client, you don't have to coordinate with A&C and the scheduler to, hey, 11 and 12, I want to show 16.9 podcasts on all of this place. You know, you could just walk around and you could press a button on your phone and when you're showing up and you can just launch it, right? So
right.
we're trying to do things like that.
Yeah, the Fulton Center thing is interesting in how it then crosses into World Trade and the Oculus retail area and so on. It's what did you learn out of that in terms of putting together a visual network that was going to run across multiple venues that aren't necessarily visible to one another? You know, you they're connected by tunnels and so on, or concourses, but they're different things in certain respects. And they're also, instead of a game where people are sitting for 40 minutes, they're almost all of them are constantly on the move.
Yeah. So obviously they placed the screens in places where they felt were going to be higher traffic, right? Like an entrance to a subway tunnel, or you come out of the path from Jersey and you're trying to get up into street level Manhattan, and you walk that past, you know, what amounts to almost 400 or 500 feet of screens. And it was definitely a little difficult to envision what they were trying to do, but as it started to come together, it made a lot of sense to us. And they kind of made it a little easier on us than had they treated the different areas of the facility to want to run different things, right? They want the whole facility to run everything all at the same time. So we're able to create, you know, the software, create batches that have all the displays and, you know, throw all the content in there and then schedule them appropriately, rather than, hey, you know, this side underneath, you know, by the path station needs to run this at this time. And then over by Tower 2, we want to run that. And then in Fulton, we want to run this other thing. They are kind of two separate venues. So we have two different schedules going at each one, because they're different. There's different trains that run at each station, right? So in Fulton, you have the 4-5, and, you know, in Westfield, you have the AC and the 2-3 or whatever it is. So you have to kind of decipher what goes where. But with the way they wanted to run it allowed things to be a little bit easier on the back end, but we had to deal with, you know, network infrastructure and everything else like that, which was kind of new to us in this kind of type of a venue. But they're really there to obviously be advertisements. Also, they need to make the place feel beautiful. If you've ever been down there, it's like all marble.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a really beautiful facility. So they had to kind of fit and not be. They wanted to be in your face because they were driving advertisements. They want to be appealing, but they still needed to be beautiful and look good as well. So there was a lot of pressure on us too, where the 24/7 nature of it is a little different than sports, right? Where you have a game, if something goes wrong, you generally have till the next day or 2 days later to fix it, right? That doesn't happen in out of home, right? That thing's got to be working, you know, 23 and a half hours a day with not a lot of downtime and, you know, not a lot of issues happening, because, you know, advertisers are walking through it and potential advertisers and the customers. So it was a lot of pressure on us. We literally have people walking the facilities downtown New York, you know, for 18 hours a day, reporting issues and fixing issues, because we don't want to have any downtime on these displays because the stakes are that high.
Yeah, really. How many people do you have working in the company? Roughly,
we have about just under 100 full timers, and we have, you know, depending on the seasonality of it, we have around 200 part timers that work for us all across the country.
And of the full timers, are most of them kind of in the greater New York area?
They are. I mean, there's probably like 30% in this area, just because, like I said, we have a lot downtown and kind of working at our headquarters in Westchester. But we're pretty spread out. You know, we have upwards of almost 100 venues across the country where we have something.
Okay.
So in those markets, like in LA or a Washington, D.C. or Baltimore, where, you know, we have a lot of different things going on, we have full-timers that are in those markets actually running a stable of part-timers as well.
Yeah, because they need to be there. They can't just say, well, I can get there next Thursday or something.
Yeah, no, they gotta be there at a moment's notice most of the time.
All right, this is great. If people want to know more about ANC, they just go to ANC.com?
Yeah, ANC.com.
Nice and simple.
I wouldn't really, you know, we do some stuff on socials, but LinkedIn's really probably the one that makes the most sense if you want to check out some of our posts and what we've been up to lately. But we just did a full rebrand. We changed our logo. We kind of changed our colors after we bought the company back. And I think the website looks great. So yeah, ANC.com, we'll take you straight there and you guys can learn everything there is to know about us.
Powered by C10, I see.
Powered by C10. C10's still around. Obviously, Jerry Cifarelli Jr. Founded that company, and that was the vehicle from which that we acquired ANC. But obviously, with the legacy he had with his father and the name brand that ANC had, we decided we wanted to keep it and just kind of give it a refresh and push it forward.
All right, Joe, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Dave. This has been great. I appreciate it.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 69, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the archive and find hundreds of conversations with smart industry people. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 69 at 16-9.net. You'll find more than 8,000 posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. 16-9 is not a press release republishing mill like a lot of the stuff out there. If something makes it on 16-9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16-9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and the key one here is ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Check out all the curated and automated content available at ScreenFeed.com. 16-9, the blog, and the podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which does customer engagement solutions, most of that digital signage, for all kinds of businesses. You'll find them in the Tampa area and online at Spectrio. That's Spectrio.com. You'll find me working out of a sunny back room in my house located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.